feast or famine. Entrepreneurs, freelancers, even students working part-time may all have an irregular income. Budgeting is challenging as it is, but for those people with an irregular income, it can be even more of a daunting task. Lori Campbell is with Credit Canada. She is here to answer some questions about budgeting on an irregular income and take us through some steps on how to do it right. Hello there.
Hello.
Why is this so much tougher?
Well, you know, it's so much tougher because people, when the money's coming in, they think they're rich and, yeah. and they think that the money's going to continue to flow. And when it dries up, it's almost like a big shock to them. And they realize that, hey, wait a minute, this is not going to be a continuous stream of cash flow. But then when the money rolls in again, you start feeling like everything's going well. So I think for especially for people who are small business students, when they're in school, for sure, if they get any type of loan at the beginning of the year, all those individuals really struggle to make that money stretch over a period of time.
Your first step is to take a look back. And what specifically are people looking at when they go back into their financial archives? What are they trying to figure out?
Well, what they're trying to figure out is what the history of revenue is, you know, income and expense is. So the first thing is to take a look at the income. You know, ideally, if you've been employed for a number of years, if you can go back a couple of years, fantastic. But if you can't, go back as far as you can to find out where the money, it dips and peaks in your financial situation so that you can make decisions on how to spread that out over time. So the first thing is, yes, take a look back, look at the, you know, what's the history of that cash flow is.
And you probably have a number, an annual number, that would be a pretty important thing to use as your budget for the future. So say that number is 40 grand or 50 grand or 20 grand, whatever it is, you then would need to think about that in monthly terms so you could match that with like rent and groceries and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if you can do that, if you take a look at your monthly or your annual income and divide it by 12 and then you know how much money you need to put aside for each month, that's great. A lot of people find that difficult. And the reason it's difficult, Bruce, is a lot of people are in a situation where they may have, you know, taxes that are involved and those types of things, and therefore they can't necessarily, you know, backtrack their taxes out of that because they have different types of expenses.
Right. When I started in journalism 1,000 years ago, I was one of those people who did not manage the tax thing right and forgot to set aside a sufficient amount and really got burned. Is that one of the bigger pitfalls?
Yes, for sure. It's a big pitfall because then what happens is the tax man comes after you and says, hey, man, you owe us money for the last year. And this is a huge problem with the clients that we see. They come in, they thought they were doing really well financially. In fact, they come in still thinking they're doing well financially because they have failed to put money away for taxes. They're doing terribly. And actually, in some cases, their business is not even solvent and they don't realize it because they haven't deducted that tax amount.
So step one was take a look back. Step two, create your budget. Given how volatile and how big the swings can be, how do you budget? How do you ensure that you've got, you know, the whatever the amount of your rent or mortgage payment is standing by in the account ready to go?
Well, first of all, when you look at a budget, there are always fixed expenses. Like you mentioned, your rent or your mortgage, those are fixed. So you know no matter what, every month you're going to have to pay that. Put it this way, your bank does not care that you've had a bad month and you're in a bit of a dip. They want their mortgage payment, okay? Your landlord does not care if you haven't got your rent. They want it. So those types of things are fixed. Your utilities are fixed. Other things like going out for dinner, buying clothing are somewhat variable, and therefore they should be the last on the budget. So first of all, you need to figure out what those fixed expenses are, what those ones that you cannot get away without paying are, and then you have to tally those up and figure out what more you have according to your income is gravy for all those extras.
Test your budget is step number three. What does that entail?
Well, testing your budget means recognizing that you need to make sure that what you say you have as far as expenses are what you really have. So, you know, take a little budgeting booklet. We offer them at Credit Canada. Track your expenses over a couple of months to find out if in fact what you say you're spending on things is what you're spending on things. You may think your utility bill, let's say your gas bill is only $60 a month, but you know what? You start really looking at that bill over a couple of months, you realize it's much higher than that. And so many people get tripped up because they really don't know where they're spending money. They really don't know what their expenses are. They don't know what their transportation cost is. They don't know what their cell phone cost is because they're just making assumptions. And that can really ruin a budget.
They're deluded optimists like
yes,
me.
I was well, at an event last that's always a happy thing.
I was at an event last night. And if I were really honest with myself, I certainly had 8 brownies. Like, really, when I think about it, if I was to tell the truth, I think I had 3.
But you know what? They were really small brownies.
And I was only being polite because the host would have wanted me to have. No, I totally gorged my face.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we do fool ourselves, don't we?
We do absolutely fool ourselves. Step number 4 is create a hill and valley fund. What is a hill and valley fund?
So, you know, this is a brilliant way of looking at your expenses. So in your account, the hills are when you have all the money flowing in. So the hills are there for those times when you're raking in the income, you've got the extra work that's going on, and you're pumping away the money. So those hills you're creating for the valleys. The valleys are when maybe you're a seasonal worker, whatever the case may be, when the times are not so good and you have those lean times, but you can rely on the hills to draw money out during those times of leanness. So the hills are you're putting all that money away, and the valleys are when you're taking that money out to cover the expenses during those lean times when you otherwise, hopefully, in the past, maybe didn't do it as well, but hopefully now you are.
It's kind of like what we all would have had to do a couple of generations ago with our canning and our salting of fish and whatever else we would do to prepare for the winter in which food was not so common.
Exactly. You know, it's so amazing. All those wonderful tools and tips that our grandparents knew, we should really go back to. And that's why, you know, you talk about Moolala, making finances simple. That's what it's all about. Like, if you look at our grandparents, what are their famous sayings? Money doesn't grow on trees.
Yep.
Save for a rainy day, and don't buy something until you've got the money in the bank. I mean, those were simple mathematical tools that can serve all of us well today.
What additional insight would you have on credit card usage for someone with a regular income? Because I can imagine it must be so much more complicated to navigate how those bills get paid in this world of hills and valleys.
You know, I think that when it comes to credit, my whole philosophy on credit card use is very simple. No matter who you are, especially those who are self-employed and have a regular income, is that you only use credit for three real purposes. One is safety, one is convenience, and the third is just really taking advantage of maybe some type of cash flow issue if you know the money is coming in the bank very, very soon. So ideally, Bruce, you want to be able to pay off that credit card every month in full. If you cannot do that, or if you think that you're coming into some lean times, don't use that credit card. Because let's face it, the number one reason people use their credit cards is for impulse purchases. So, you know,
I have a distant second. The second reason is to earn points.
Rewards.
I got to put it on my card so I can earn my points.
I'm not even sure if it's that distant. I mean, I hear people putting the most bizarre things on their credit card they would never, under normal circumstances, purchase because they thought they'd get extra points.
Right. It's like they're trying to hit their steps on their Fitbit. Like, I got to put on my credit card so I can earn the points.
I know. And, you know, you got different types of points now. You can go into a store and it's like 10 times the points today. Yeah. You know, sometimes, so suddenly you buy 10 times the number of things you need.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So, you know, I think that we get far too caught up in the impulsive purchasing with credit cards. So I strongly suggest that if you are in lean times, you want to build your credit rating. Sure, I understand that. But use it very frugally. Pay it off every month and make sure those items that you are purchasing are in the budget during the lean times, not during the good times, but during the lean times so that you can actually weather the storms.
Lori Campbell, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Lori Campbell is with Credit Canada. She was here to talk about budgeting on an irregular income.